And joining us now, as she does every Tuesday, is Deborah Tavares. Deborah, welcome back to the Dark Outpost. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you so much, David. We're going to have a fast clip of this today because there's so many topics to discuss. So today being Tuesday, February the 8th of 2022. And again, I must certainly tell everyone that this is not date-sensitive information you're going to hear, just to mark when this show was done, that's all. So we're going to jump into what we face, and at the conclusion of my last show with you, David, which is, of course, now posted on our website, stopthecrime.net, and one of the lead topics about that show last week was why people will willingly go into the FEMA camps, and, of course, much more information. But what I found out last week, and this is going to be just the beginning of a story that people need to understand. I heard on my local radio station that they were going to be having a Vision Zero meeting through the health department. And I thought, what on earth is a VisionZero.org meeting? And I found out it is a worldwide vision program to reduce auto deaths. Now, this is very concerning. It should be to all of you that are listening, because the real goal is to eliminate all fossil fuels and all driving. So here's what I found out, and this is in your town as well. I pulled documents out of Colorado. It's worldwide. So let's just discuss this for a moment, because they're calling the auto accidents and death traffic violence. Traffic violence. So Vision Zero, no more traffic deaths. They say Vision Zero is a global movement to end traffic-related fatalities and serious injuries by taking a systematic approach to road safety. And they talk about how they will implement a national road safety policy, and that was already implemented in Sweden in 1997. And Vision Zero became adopted by more than 20 cities around the world. So this is a worldwide plan to change our systems as we have known it. And this is just one portion of this. But the Vision Zero concept, again, it originated in Sweden in 1997 when the Swedish Parliament adopted Vision Zero as an official road policy. And with other European countries, Sweden has been the initial, has seen initial sharp declines in road fatality. Now, of course, reducing and eliminating road deaths is extremely important. No one wants to see people die on the roads. But this is an illusion. This is not what this vision is all about. And when I listened to my local visionary adopted fatality, traffic violence, here locally in my city, I found out some very interesting things. Number one, I found that all of these Vision Zero programs are funded through grants in each city. An example in my town was I found that this was hosted by Tool Design out of Oakland, California. And I found that the city initially, this is just the initial contract amount to implement this monster, that it will turn into a monster. Mm-hmm. They've paid $191,000, and it was funded by Caltrans through the Sustainable Communities Grant. So what we're finding is backdoor dealing to literally collapse our local economies. There's absolutely no way that every city that adopts this, and every city is going to be able to afford to continue with these sharp increases through grants, which are, of course, our property taxes, our taxes, the people's taxes. This is not a government sanction. People somehow or another think, David, that when they hear about grants, they think that, oh, the government is giving it. No.
No.
This is our tax dollars. So let's be very clear on that, right?
Nothing's ever free.
That's right. So I printed off a number of documents regarding this plan, and I have a number of documents. One is 71 pages, and it shows how they indicate the traffic deaths in your area and the number of intersections that seem to have the most traffic violence. Again, it's traffic violence. They're going to be building all kinds of infrastructure in those high traffic death areas to make it compatible to all kinds of biking, motorcycles, skateboards, the other forms of transportation. So your cities will be further taxing everybody to implement these very structures that they have agreed and have signed on to. Our county signed on to Vision Zero last week. So your cities have as well. So you can type in your city, and David, you may want to do that also.
Yeah.
Just type in your city and followed by Vision Zero. And you will find out that this is to solve and stop traffic violence. So why is this so important? Because really, when you look at why, I mean, it just seems so odd, a Vision Zero. But when you find the real goal, here's the real goal. And this is, of course, on many, many major sites, but this happens to be off of Goldman Sachs, one of the leading banking cartels worldwide. And so they're talking about creating the real economy. This is where we're going. The economy we are in now is being demolished. We are being absolutely accelerated into decarbonization, which is becoming our real economy. So Goldman Sachs has various reports about accelerating transition, their approach to climate change and decarbonization, again, the real economy. And they talk about the priority sectors that they'll be targeting. And we know it's oil, gas, power, and auto manufacturing. So when I pulled up this, which, by the way, will be on my resource document section of stopthecrime.net, because I find oftentimes as I pull these documents off of major websites, they seem to disappear. So this is a copy of the accelerating transition into a climate change world. And we have to talk about that because no one else is, to the extent at least our controllers are not. But they talk about how Goldman Sachs, the firm's approach to accelerating climate transition is focused on these areas. And this is where Goldman Sachs can have the greatest material impact, including working with clients to decarbonize their businesses and help drive progress towards net zero ambitions. Now, let's talk about net zero. Everything is energy. Everything. There is no such thing as net zero. Net zero is the genocide plans, the death of everything that is living on this planet. That is what net zero is. And Goldman Sachs is telling you, net zero ambitions, engaging partners and broader stakeholders for impactful innovation and collaboration in managing the firm's own climate-related risks. So they talk about how they have stakeholder meetings, advisory groups, which is a way in which to engage people in policy creation that they have no say in. I have personally been involved in a number of sit-in advisory groups, and it is horrifying. Because people will honestly believe, just as they go to their city councils, boards of supervisors, public health meetings, school board meetings, that they actually have real input, and they do not. Everything is through an advisory group. It's all by consensus. It's mob rule. There is no science involved in any of the genocide plans that now are occurring rapidly. Because remember, Goldman Sachs is saying accelerating this transition into the New Green Deal. Now, when I refer to the New Green Deal, it's only because that's what most of you have heard. But really, it was prior to that. It was just sort of flown out that it was a new Green Deal. There's nothing new about it. There's nothing green about it. And it's absolutely not a deal at all. So as I look at the approaches and the focuses of Goldman Sachs and the regulatory structures that are being built around financing, I'm finding the goal of literally capturing all our financing through the banks. There will be nothing allowed, no money's borrowed, that is not facilitating the efforts to decarbonize the world. In other words, to eliminate the greenhouse gas emissions to save this planet. They say in their latest task force on climate-related financial disclosures, accelerating the transition, they share an interim roadmap for how we aim to deliver on our long-term commitment to align with net zero. So as I look at these documents, I'm constantly surprised that very few people are focusing on this. They're focusing on things of no major consequence, things that are in the news that are rolling over us. And I will be doing more on the decarbonization. I talk about that through the circular economy, which is also extremely important to understand. We are all maneuvered now into a circular economy. I want you to envision in your mind a circle, and we're inside of that circle. This is a closed loop system. And this is why you are going to see the increased wastewater sewer treatment plants throughout this country for reuse, repurposing into drinking water. So if you're unfortunate enough to live within a city that is hooked up to a wastewater sewer treatment plant, eventually the goals are for you to drink it. And of course, we've been hearing much about the sewer surveillance that has been occurring now because of the various variants that are popping up. And I reported on this back in 2018 when I found the business model that Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, and his wife Chan were preparing to evoke into a surveillance system of our sewer, our wastewater. Now, at that time, they talked about how they could easily lock down a city, for example, of 60,000 people if they could show a certain percentage of infections in the sewer plant treatment system. And I've observed lately they're narrowing that down now by putting in equipment to check even on a half an hour basis in college and in school campuses to check the amount of the different types of variances when they flush the toilets on school campuses. Now, this, of course, will be for the purpose of locking their children into the schools when they say that there is an increased level of variance. There will be a lockdown, and your children or students will be locked down in schools, which is the plan anyway. So this is just a way in which to sell the plan that would make some kind of sense to people, but I hope it doesn't make sense to any of you because it is a lockdown plan, a change of global economies, and literally confining us within a circular economy system. So what is a circular economy? It's really important to understand this. Again, think about circle and you're in it. And it's the decoupling economic activity of the consumption of finite resources. Now, wait a minute. Finite resources. So what are they calling finite resources? Well, they're calling petroleum finite resources. They're calling water finite resources. And we know that petroleum and water, they're renewables. We're not running out. So until you can conceptually understand that enormous understanding of water and how it's a renewable called primary water, which I have many videos of primary water interviews with the now deceased Paul Power, who was the world's expert on primary water, standing on the shoulders of prior primary water explorers before him as well. But again, I also run the website primarywater.org and on stopthecrime.net on our Odyssey vid channel. You'll be able to see many of the videos that I've done with interviewing Paul Power and just discussing primary water in general. As you hear this rollout of events on the program today, I want you all to be thinking about being prepared as best you can within the programs that they are telling us have been activated and accelerated. This is not, absolutely not to cause fear, but to move us out of the fear campaigns of condensing us into a system that is shrinking, a circular economy that is shrinking. When you consider that food is being reduced because of the illusion of lack of water and the movement into alternative food resources, which we'll talk about here in a moment or two, but you look at how the weaponized weather and the targeting of weather events is moving us into other livable or non-livable areas and moving us out of the lands that we now inhabit. We have to understand what we can do and what you might consider doing to survive longer in a economy that is already well on its way to being fully activated. So a circular economy is a new and inclusive economic paradigm. So it's based on three principles. It's driven. It eliminates waste and pollution. So I want you to think about that. Eliminates waste and pollution. So the solution to pollution is dilution. That is why we're having such high levels of poisons in the water supply, in the oceans, and in the air we breathe. Because we know that many of the heavy metals and pollutions that are sprayed overhead is a way in which the solution to toxic products is being used on us as well. And it's, again, driven by design and to eliminate waste, all waste. So think of what you might throw away today. Look in your trash. Look at what you are throwing away and understand they are moving us into a zero waste future, a circular economy. It is a change to the model in which resources are mined, made into products, and then become waste. A circular economy reduces all material. So it should not surprise you that we're seeing supply line disruptions because they are reducing all material. And the supply line reductions, of course, have many other goals as well. But it fits nicely into the circular economy, which is also a model of production and consumption, which involves sharing, leasing, reusing, repairing, refurbishing. And it's important to, of course, consider that sharing and reusing and repairing are all good processes, and we don't want to be wasteful. But we are becoming consumed in a closed-loop system in which all materials and components and products lose their value. And the economic system of closed loops in which raw materials and components and products are no longer available to us unless it is reused. We're talking about from clothes to food to any and everything reuse. And again, drinking sewer water, repurposed sewer water. And this replaces the end-of-life concept with restoration. And what we're being told, and much of this, of course, many people would agree with, and certainly we are not disagreeing with the need to reuse products and not be so wasteful. But this is a constriction, restriction, inability to access goods that we need for survival. We're in a system that has been built upon a system that now they're telling us is no longer working, and they are redesigning the consumption system and reducing consumption. Again, they're telling us it's a new and inclusive economic paradigm. And I have found that in Washington, D.C., they all know about this. They all know about this. We are being congealed into a system of zero. Zero. And it's way, way beyond people's sense of patriotism and how they go about voicing themselves. But I want to say this at this moment. It's important to do whatever you understand to voice your feelings and get out there and talk. Whatever it is, just don't sit there any longer. I'm not going to certainly suggest that your ideas are not good and non-productive. Whatever you do now is good and is necessary. And the circular economy is a solution framework that tackles global challenges like climate change, biodiversity, loss, waste, and pollution. Now think about it. Climate change. Climate change is not just climate change. We know that. It's the use of weather weapons.
Yes.
Weather weapons. So we're being targeted and we are being moved into a system that is being used to destroy us. I want to go on about power outages right now, because we're all going to be facing these, every one of you that is listening. It's very important to be prepared. I know that, David, I sent you some points that I wanted to discuss in the program today. One of those points is that I would encourage all of you to look in the inserts in your utility bills. That would be your electric bills, your water bills, whatever kind of utility bills that you get. And you may find something, like I have found in my utility bills multiple times over many years. And here's my latest in January of 2022 from Southern California Edison, an electric company in Southern California. Now, before I get into this, it's important to understand that all the utility companies are run by Rothschild LLC and corporations. And we are being sold out into a micro and mega wireless grid system of death. Make no mistake. And I'm going to be going over frequencies here momentarily. But they tell me in my bill that I need to be prepared for outage emergencies. They say you may want to consider adding a power station or a portable generator to your emergency preparedness plans. These devices may provide backup power for your personal electronics, such as cell phone, computer, or other important household appliances, such as refrigerators, lighting, garage door openers. Now, I want to say this. There were a number of deaths during some of the enormous fires we had here in Northern California from 2017 and forward, where people were not able to get out of their garage doors, out of their garages with their cars. They simply did not know how to disengage their garage door operators.
Everyone should know how to do that.
They certainly should. But they're advising us to have these generators for the purposes, again, refrigerators and lighting, garage door openers, medical devices, which help you to be more prepared for an outage or other emergencies. And they talk about how there are rebates available for the purchase of qualifying and buying some of these products. And they talk about how we can watch these educational videos and learn about available solutions. Now, let's be very clear. These are weather weapons. Our outages, our fires, our tornadoes, our flooding, it is all targeted weather weapon assaults and attacks on us. And now what you're hearing is the building of businesses by weather attacks. This is and they talk about in California and Oregon and Idaho and other areas that are considered high risk areas fire zones, and why you want to be prepared in advance. These are burn 'em up zones. These are not wildfire zones. These are targeted areas in the United States, and you can pull the maps up of high-risk fire zones in the United States, and you will see the planned targeted locations. This is targeting. This is creating major disasters, absolutely, to implode our local economies. I want to go over this because I just stumbled across this and I found this to be rather horrific, and it feeds into the generators and all of the costs that they want us to expend for portable generators. And this is just one example. And I've gone over this before, but it's important to understand what microgrids are. And microgrids are being created all over the country, particularly on military bases, so that when there's an outage, they can literally be separated off of the grid system that the nearby town, say, would be on for the benefit of electricity. So we're being charged for all of this through the Rothschild utility contractual agreements. We are all paying for microgrids. And here's what has happened here with the microgrids, and this is important to follow in your areas, but I'm sad to say there are many areas throughout this country that are not being given the opportunity to even have microgrids. So you're stuck unless you come up with alternative ways to continue with energy opportunities on your property. And that goes beyond just solar panels and battery backup, which they recommend. Certainly we know and we've learned now that the lithium ion batteries are a weapons system, and you need to be using the silicon gel batteries that won't explode. It's very important to understand how just about everything that we use and everything that we're being told we need to use is weaponized. So here is the microgrid, and this was very important for me to understand and share with you, because I have learned in rural communities, not only in California, but other rural communities as well, that the activation of microgrids has not been activated during power outages. And when I saw this headline, I thought, what on earth is that about? And they talk about if a microgrid is built in your area to address public safety power outages, they call them here PSPS, public safety power outages. Shouldn't it be activated when power outages occur for other reasons? Of course, microgrids should be activated if outages occur for other reasons. Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Well, here is what they're telling us. That's the question a group representing over 38 rural counties in California is asking state regulators after being precluded from using their microgrids during multiple power outages that were unrelated to the utility's planned power shutdowns. The planned power shutdowns of power by the utilities to avoid wildfires. And when I read that, I thought, why on earth? What is the plot behind this? And here it is. Rural county representatives, which includes communities located in forests with high-risk fire, said that permit restrictions left microgrids sitting idle in their communities during scores of debilitating outages in 2021 because the microgrids run on fossil fuels and the state limits their activation because they use fossil fuels as backup to the microgrids. I hope you're hearing what is being said right now. Because when you spend the money, of course, for the interim opportunity to have your generators, you must understand that the power ultimately in the fuel source is going to be eliminated. We've talked about that in the sustainable development plans, how all fossil fuels will be eliminated. Again, we know that we don't get our petroleum from dead and decaying plant material and dinosaurs. Again, all part of the disinformation and the disbelief in finite resources. But they were talking about how there were over 500 unplanned power outages, and the counties have also experienced multiple power outages because of the work that the utilities began doing to improve their ability to avert wildfires. Now, let's be very clear. They're causing the wildfires. So the work and the tax dollars that they are collecting to improve their ability to avert wildfires is just taxing us more and stealing more dollars from us through their culpable representatives called the public utilities agencies throughout the country. Here it would be the California Public Utilities. They're all in concert with the takedown and the increased cost of averting the very disasters that they create. So they go on. Utilities are upgrading electrical equipment so that they can more quickly stop the flow of power when a problem is detected. I will tell you, they will be stopping the flow of power. Let's be very clear. The utility explains the program is called Enhanced Power Line Safety Settings. And I'm posting this on my website, and there's a video involved in this as well. And they talk about how, in some locations, these adjustments to the utility's equipment have resulted in more frequent outages as crews must patrol the circuit and perform any necessary repairs prior to restoring the power. This is all intentional to lengthen the amount of time that all of us suffer with no power. Think about your refrigeration. So this would be a workaround plan for you to consider your refrigeration. You need extension cords. In the interim, you do need to get generators. And you need to think about the things that you want to keep powered up when they turn the power off, and they are. The program here caused 500 unplanned power outages that affected more than 560,000 customers. And this was as of October 25th of 2021. And the rural county group wants the utility to seek local permits to ensure that the microgrids can be used for other kinds of outages. Now, I could go further on this topic, but I will leave you with the thinking that you need to prepare for planned power outages and being targeted with horrific storms that are going to eliminate your power. Now, I'm sure that many of you are watching the global news cycles of weather events. You might have recently noted what happened in Puerto Rico. Absolutely devastating floods. What's happening in Afghanistan and Syria with freezing weather in the camps where many of these migrants have had to move and live in tents for years. And they're literally being frozen in the tents. The children are dying. The parents are waking up in the morning to frozen babies. And at the same time, they have a measles outbreak. What a perfect collision. This is horrific. This is happening worldwide to our human family. Because are any of you, when you protest, when you go anywhere, are you holding signs up about stop the use of weather weapons? I'm not seeing many people doing this. I'm seeing people protesting many topics without topics or signs specific to situations. Now, if you're going to protest and get out there on the street and say something, say something. Have your signs dark enough so that it can be seen on camera. Otherwise, what's the point of gathering in mob-like protest without saying anything visually? And that's what I'm seeing. So if you're going to go out there and use your energy in that way, say something. Carry signs with websites so that people will understand where they can go to find out what is going on. If you're standing out there just yelling and in a mob, you are saying nothing. No one knows what you are doing, and most likely you don't even know what you're doing. So let's talk about a few more things. Right now, just as a big FYI, and I am on the front lines here in Northern California with fires, as well as Oregon, Idaho, and Colorado, and Washington State, etc. But we're already being maneuvered into a drought for this coming season. Our front headlines in the paper today, again, February the 8th, Tuesday of 2022, it says, officials are wary of wildfire threats. Landscape continues to dry out from lack of rain and increased offshore breezes. They are telling us right now, and they create these troughs and prevent the rain from being allowed here. But more importantly, you have to understand, rain and snowmelt is the evaporation process that is primary water that comes up from down below. Sadly, our system of the water infrastructure is only based on rain and snowmelt, which they control from the weapon systems that they control us by. But they're telling us that the lack of rain and persistent offshore breezes are simply sucking the landscape dry, and humidity levels are dropping and reducing fuel moisture to levels more commonly seen in May or June, and right now we're in February, which are used and are considered to be the start of our fire season. But we have to understand, we're being told fire season is all year round. And I think we can see that worldwide. We can see this in the United States. And very few people that are out there protesting or demonstrating have signage of weather weapons and frequencies. Nothing. I can only implore those of you that feel compelled to get in any kind of a crowd protest that you actually hold signage. So they go on to say that February should be defined by winter weather. All the dry air is just pulling moisture out of the ground and pulling moisture out of the vegetation. I can tell you now, here in Northern California, when we had rain a few months back, people are now starting to have to turn on their irrigation systems. So what do I find as an insert in my water bills, which you should be looking at as well, to conserve indoor use of water? Because they're going to start allocating water usage inside your homes. Have any of you heard about the no water urinals? Well, yes.
Well, we've seen them in restaurants. Definitely, Deborah. You know, the waterless urinals. I have seen them in men's restrooms and McDonald's and some other things. Are you saying they're going to try to force people to put those in their homes?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, we're being told to right now in our water bills to conserve indoor use of water. Now, I've reported on the deployment and rollout of the smart wireless water meters that are being placed in front of all of your homes and apartment buildings. And they will be able to remotely turn off your water if you've overused your allotment and allocated water usage for that month. If they turn off your water, and I will repeat this again, if your water is turned off because of overuse and or your electricity is turned off for overuse, this health department will come in and temporarily, they say, relocate you to a place of safety where you have water and you have electricity. I want you to think about that. This is warfare. This is the plan. This is what the documents tell us. And so for those of you that have the opportunity to reinforce your ability to not be forcibly relocated because you do not have water accessibility and or electricity accessibility, I would suggest you start looking into this and how you're going to accomplish being more self-reliant immediately. Immediately. I can't stress that enough. I want to talk about something I've mentioned previously, but very, very important. We're finding, of course, increased homelessness not only all over the United States, but worldwide. And what we're now seeing are your cities that are all corporations working under United Nations Agenda 21 policies and 2030 policies, and your cities and your counties have all implemented sustainable development plans of the circular economy, which is restrictive use of all resources and confining you in less and less till they get to zero. So what they're doing now, and you need to notice this, is in our town, they have acquired a lot, a piece of property in the heart of our little town for RV homeless parking programs. And the homeowners adjacent to this park are absolutely beside themselves because they are concerned about the crime that we've already experienced with homeless encampments, whether they're in RVs or whether they are in tents. It is a monster of a trash problem, a noise problem, a drug problem, and theft in the neighborhoods as they pillage through the neighborhoods for supplies they need. So right now, on the front page of our paper yesterday, it says there's still plenty of time to stop the city's illegal RV camp. And they're trying to collect money for a lawsuit. They need about $35,000 to engage a lawyer to try to stop this illegal homeless parking program in the heart of our town. Now let's think about that. What do these kinds of things do for all of us? It decreases our level of safety. Now we worry. When you have these types of encampments in your downtown areas, near the markets where you shop, the other facilities and restaurants that you frequent, all of that has a feeling of being less safe. Well, because it is. So we're being pummeled, absolutely pummeled, and we're going to have to really look at how we help to protect one another as our system is degraded every single day, as we are distracted by other types of protests that are really literally meaningless in the long run. While behind all of the surface protesting are bigger issues coming down on us. So think of much of what you're seeing in the media and the kinds of protesting that you are witnessing as a swimmer swimming on the top of the water, when what is really happening is the massive current underneath. And these are the plans of genocide. So I'm going to go into an email blast out that I sent out this morning. Very important to understand. And we're going to go into frequencies because I found the first protection of our neural rights, our neurological brain rights, that has just now come out of Chile. So let's talk about this. These are about brain rights and legislative protections. Now, there is no legislative protections that will reduce the taking of our brains. Let's be perfectly clear. Legislative actions do not exist on our behalf. So here's what Chile is saying they're pioneering. And why this is important, it's not because they can do anything about it, but it's because they're telling you what is being done and what they're concerned about. And all of you need to be concerned about this as well. Because they said Chile is set to become the first country in the world to legislate on neurotechnologies and include brain rights. They go on to say in 2021, Chile's Senate, just like our Senate, working for the United Nations and all of the sustainable development plots of genocide. So let's be very clear on the terminology when you read this, because I did an email blast out. Many of you that are listening are going to get this today. But they talk about how in 2021, Chile's Senate unanimously approved a bill to amend their constitution, just like ours, we don't have one, to protect our brain rights or our neurological rights. They go on to say how they reviewed and approved an amendment in September, and it's now expected that the bill will be signed into law by the country's president. Now, let's be perfectly clear. You do not stop frequencies. You do not. And the taking over of our brains is not possible to stop. So let's continue. Once the process is completed, Chile will become the world's first country to have legislation to protect mental privacy, free will, and non-discrimination in citizens' access to neurotechnology. The aim is to give personal brain data the same status as an organ, so that it cannot be bought or sold, trafficked or manipulated. I hope you're hearing this, because this is what is going to occur with all of us. This is happening, and I'm sad to say, it is not stoppable. So, to protect the integrity and mental indemnity of the brain from the advances and capabilities developed by the neurotechnologies, Chile is trying to create a way to stop this. The adoption of such a legal arsenal may seem premature. Well, it's not, because much of this is already happening, and I'm adding that. But they say, in view of the development of neurotechnologies, that experts are already sounding the alarm and insisting on the need to legislate before intrusive applications become widespread, especially as progress in the field of neurotechnology continues to accelerate. I will say it's a done deal.
Wow.
They're too late, okay? In April of 2021, Neuralink entrepreneur Elon Musk's brain machine interface company released a video of a monkey playing a video game after getting implants in the brain. The brain machine interface technology used to do this is still in its infancy. That is not true. It is not true.
It's been around for a long time.
It's been massively advanced. So why I'm sending this out as a blast out is for a number of reasons, but they talk about the dangerous spin-offs. They say it was precisely this proliferation of technology advances that prompted the Chilean Senate's Future Challenges Commission to take an interest in neurotechnology 3 years ago. So they knew about this 3 years ago, and they're saying that, it's in its infancy. No, it is not. They said they, following a visit by Rafael Yuste, a neurobiologist out of Columbia University in New York, and one of the initiators of the Brain Initiative, the United States project to map the human brain, the commission began to be concerned about the risks these advances pose to human security and free will. There are already technologies that can directly read the brain. Now, let me read that again. There are already technologies that can directly read the brain, decipher what people are thinking and feeling, but also implant feelings that are not our own. Now, I've been saying this for a very long time. I've talked about the Aquarius operations briefing. We've talked about frequencies, the 4G plus the 5G, all of the frequencies that are taking over, and we are being genetically modified, which we know, into something other than being human, and many people are dying in this process. So they go on to say in this Chilean document that these frequencies can cross dangerous boundaries if there is no legislation. They've already crossed dangerous boundaries. There has been and there will not be any legislation to stop this. This is the global controllers' plan. Make no mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Such applications, they say, could be hacked. Oh, yeah? Hacked? Or certain neuro cookies that would allow them to identify a customer's preference, eventually to implant new ones. Well, that's already been done. That's already done. They talk about how there's a legal vacuum. Of course there's a legal vacuum. There is no legality around any of this, I'm adding. Chile is not the only country concerned about the legal vacuum that surrounds the neurotechnologies. Spain, the U.S., France, and more recently Argentina have begun to study the issue. The United Nations and the Organization of American States have also taken interest in the subject. They talk about how the question may seem theoretical, but it is crucial to the extent that neuroscience is at the frontier between brain activity and what creates an individual's own identity. I will say to all of you, if you have not acquainted yourselves with the millions of targeted individuals worldwide that have been targeted for decades through these types of remote technologies, where have you been?
Yeah.
Where have you been? We have been talking about this. The sad reality is that many people are already hypnotized into the inability of understanding reality. And many people will die for the lack of that inability to understand reality. They go on to say that the legislation to regulate neuroscience also raises the issue of consent. Oh, you think you have consent? Well, I can tell you, forget about consent. You do not have the right to consent. Now, I know I'm going to get a lot of comments under this comment when I post this on Stop the Crime, because I have so many people that still believe that we're under a constitution and that we have rights.
We haven't been for a long time. We need to restore our constitutional republic. We are not one right now. We are a corporation.
Absolutely. Before granting permission to this application and the uses of data on their habits, they go on. Another key issue is access. It is essential that everyone, without discrimination, is able to benefit from the advances generated by neurotechnologies, and that they do not end up being reserved for a minority. This issue remains rather vague. The benefits and use of neurotechnology will benefit only a few. Let's clearly understand that, because the large takeaway from this is the control of our brains. So they talk about how can we ensure equitable access to this technology. The legal texts are not clear enough at this point, because they cannot ensure equitable access to this technology. And there's no plan to ensure equitable access to this technology. I want to go on into a book report. And I'm going to soon have Alana Freeland on the show with us, David. But I'm going to go over her latest book, very important for people to understand, and I'm going to go over some of that now. It's called Geoengineered Transhumanism, and it's how the environment has been weaponized by chemicals, electromagnification, and nanotechnology for synthetic biology. Now, that's a mouthful, but the bottom line is synthetic biology, not the human biology that we currently exist in. So let's go over some of the notes that I took as I was thumbing through her very involved book, and I would certainly recommend that you consider obtaining this book. Very important. It is called Geoengineered Transhumanism. You can find it on Amazon, and you can get a colored copy by contacting the Rudolph Steiner Bookstore in Seattle, Washington. And now, there's been a great difficulty getting this book through Amazon. They have said that it's backordered, it's not available. None of that is true. None of that is true.
Okay.
So I would plan on getting this book for the simple reason that you need to understand where your body is headed. This is a synthetic change and alteration of our bodies. So let's talk about a few things and then get into the book as well. But we talked recently, David, about the 5G and the concerns that the airlines were having.
Yes.
When that 5G was to have been switched on January 19th of 2022.
And was held up by the airlines, I believe.
Yeah. Well, here's another story around that, and it's rather foreboding, and it's concerning to say the very, very least. But we saw prior to that a number of pilots died in flight. Do you remember those stories, David?
Yes, that's true. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So the airline announcement of the 5G concern was likely an excuse for travelers dying in air. And the airlines needed a 5G concern as an excuse, likely, because the airline companies know. They know what we're discussing. The insiders. Why do you think they started canceling flights? To show their 5G concern. You remember they were canceling flights?
Yeah.
And do we think they know? Of course. They're part of the control system. The airlines certainly would not want to be left with the responsibility and liability of frequency, illnesses, and death. So did the airlines know? Well, I'm going to leave that up to all of you to consider whether they know or not. And many of you might appreciate the fact that they are part of the control grid and the shutdown of travel. And certainly they don't want to be wrapped up in legal assaults through attorneys. And we'll talk about that too in a moment. So we know that the 5G and the 4G plus, they're all military weapon systems and they're being used, and we're using them in our consumer life. And 5G and the weapons all have duo systems in use. And they can be used for our convenience or pulsed as a weapon into all living things. And we know that. We see this. We see the benefits of some of the technology. But I can say all wireless is deadly wireless.
Yes.
It is all a weapons system. So a takeaway right now for all of you that are listening is to consider what wireless you have in your homes. How close are you to cell towers? Because you may need to implement certain shielding to reduce the extremely low frequencies that come through your windows. You may remember we had screens over windows years back, but because they rusted and fell apart, we now have fiberglass screens. That does not block out the low frequencies coming in through your windows. I've known many people that have successfully put rolls of screen on the outside of their windows, and this does not have to look tacky. This can look very nice, and then ground it to the ground. It must be grounded. In fact, all your homes need to be grounded. Look that up. You need a grounding rod. Why am I suggesting this? Because as a builder, the grounding rods were always put in the foundations. That does not ground the electricity in your internal house wiring and allow it to exit the consequence of dirty electricity in your homes. Another takeaway. So let's go on into the book, again, Geoengineered Transhumanism, and understand that the 5G flip-on not only was 4G plus the same phased array antenna system, but it was all part of the 5G system that has already been fully deployed. And the phased array antenna to direct and beam frequencies into a target. This is what we were talking about recently when we were talking about border controls and cutting off our ability to travel with the overhead interstate streetlights. They all have systems of tracking. And what we also have to understand is the carrier frequencies into dense population cities. They're creating calmness in people. They must not evoke a panic until they have you captured fully, your brains captured. So for those of you that understand what is occurring, prepare yourself. Just prepare. That's all I can say right now. Because we're seeing gene editing and controlling and inoculating people for transhumanism goals. And we must consider what the system would be like. Because there's an inside system of gene editing and controlling through the inoculations. And then there's an exterior system to effectively activate that entire system. And that would be the frequencies. So the 5G, let's talk about 5G and 4G plus. Implementing with a variety of other illnesses. We know that the medical system is based on illness and not health. We know that, don't we? don't we, David?
Oh, yeah. They want to fix things that are broken rather than preventative health techniques, and they want to use Big Pharma to shove drugs down our throats.
Absolutely. And now frequencies are used to trigger and connect implanted materials
yes.
that are being injected into us through the serum. We're being inoculated. The body to activate illness and software, internal software. Now, David, I've interviewed several super soldiers that talk about the software that has already been activated in their bodies. And to hear their stories, it's heart-wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
Heart-wrenching. This has already happened. So many previous injectables into us are dormant until certain frequencies cause activation and then the symptoms start. Now, I'm going to go back to Andrew Molden, MD, out of Canada. I have on StopTheCrime.net his videos. There's three parts. It's called Tolerance Lost. Just type in video. If it's still on YouTube, I don't know, but I have it on my site. Tolerance Lost by Dr. Andrew Molden. He talks about the frequencies. He was telling us all about this. And I threw in something that I had forgotten about when I long ago watched The Truman Show with Carrie.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And the closing segment, I would recommend that everybody listen to the closing segment. This is when he's out on the fake ocean and the sailboat hits the circling of the clouds that are painted in the script, in the creation of a movie set. And when he hits that, he suddenly starts to think, what on earth? And then he climbs up a staircase that he had never noticed before, and he's at the top of the stairs. And to the best of my memory, and this is not verbatim, and this is why I ask everybody to watch this, because for those of you that understand The Truman Show, you realize that it was a reality show that worldwide views. People were sitting back in their homes watching this fake little world created in a town
actors. From the day he was born, his whole life was monitored and it became a reality show.
Absolutely. And there were many times during the show, The Truman Show, that he started to scratch his head and wonder what was going on. He would see people that shouldn't have been there, but he was literally unable. He was swept into the illusion. Well, the last scene, when he suddenly becomes aware and he's maybe going to walk out, the director of the reality show tells him basically this. Yes. You are the star in a reality show. It's not real. But either is the life out there. But the life that you live here in this reality show, you are safe. The reality show out there and the life that you might choose to go into, you will be unsafe. And that leads into where we all are now in the Sustainable Development Goals, the circular economy, and the weather systems being used to target and destroy us. Unsafe. So for those of you, I picked up on that, something interesting you may want to watch. Again, I mentioned Dr. Andrew Molden, Tolerance Lost videos, again on StopTheCrime.net. A reminder, just to repeat it again, that all wireless devices are weapons of frequencies. Now, I just posted on my website a very important video from La Cuenca Columba in Spain, and it's an excellent resource, excellent. So go to our Odyssey video channel and please listen to this video. It was just posted yesterday. So going back to my book report with Alana Freeland's book, Geoengineering and Transhumanism, of course, it's a discussion about how our environment is completely weaponized, and we must prepare ourselves, especially the inoculated, whose genetics have been changed already. Their genetics to digital biology, which means All they need are the frequencies to create disease or cure disease. Make symptoms appear out of nowhere. Biological engineers are doing this. This is the bioscience. And what's interesting is the transhuman agenda is not about robots. And that's basically what we're thinking. It's not. What they want is a human body that can be translated into something rather than a human being. What we have is everything hidden from us, secrets and lies. Now we have arrived at a point in history that this is no longer a conspiracy, and we can no longer hide in the illusion of the secrets and lies in mainstream media propaganda. This is a planned demolition of all nations and countries worldwide. And we've talked before about the enormity of the Psy War and the zombie apocalypse. This is a very interesting topic because the zombie apocalypse is on the CDC website.
Yes, it is.
And it is. And we even found it, and I believe we discussed it on a show, David, about it is in an Amazon contract. And people found that very interesting. And what Alana has discovered, and sadly, and I hope for those of you that are listening to this, you're not going to fall into this because we don't have time. But the observation is that it takes Americans about 50 years to finally realize what's true. I sure as heck hope that's not true now, David, because we are in a consensus-driven reality where standards are being created and driven by mob rule, not science or real truths or real facts. And technology is way beyond programming. And we have to learn to turn off our television camera. It's watching us and listening to us. There are so many methods in which we're being monitored. So she talks about, of course, and we know this, massive corporations now control our lives, and they do. And we get alpha influence, reassurance, stimulation, and emotions with frequencies. And we do not need to connect to real people. We are being unplugged from the need of survival with human interaction.
Can I give you a briefly interrupt for 1 minute to give you a perfect example of this? I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you remember, Deborah, back in 2003, but there was a major power outage in the eastern portion of the United States, east of the Rockies. What happened is a substation in Cleveland, Ohio, blew. And for some reason, it blew out the power in half the United States. I remember being there. And during that time, it was in August, and it was hot in most of the country. And people were without power for 3 or 4 days. And this was on the heels of the 9/11 PSYOP. And a lot of people thought we were experiencing another terrorist attack. Well, during those 3 or 4 days that the power was out, people came out onto their front porch. They talked with their neighbors. They had conversation. As soon as the power came back on, they went right back into their homes and back to their computers, where they texted and, sent, messages on their computers and everything else. We have become so cocooned that we don't even want to interact with people anymore unless we absolutely have to.
Well, that's a good point. I'm happy that you made that, David. I also wanted to add this right now. I wasn't really planning to get into this. I have detailed notes about this, but many people are connected to Nextdoor, which is an app.
Yeah, me too. I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. Okay, that was set up by the CIA, and it is to actually give you the appearance that you have a wide swath of people that are involved in that, but it is capturing on a micro level the thinking in specific communities so they know how to deal with the thinking in specific communities, how much they know.
Yeah.
And they're certainly suggesting that people connect with supplies for different types of calamities that occur and know who has what. Well, when you post on Nextdoor, who has what? Well, they're monitoring and they're requiring an inventory on everything in this country. All food-related items, all food-related equipment that is used for the cultivation of food, tractors, etc. The plan is, and it's in full process now, to inventory everything. Everything.
Yeah.
So be careful being on these platforms and understand what they're for. So we know, again, that the Tonga underground volcano was all geoengineered. Messages are being sent to those that do not comply. In fact, psychotronics has really now become enormously visible with many people that are in a loop psychological system where they will appear to be mentally ill. So it's going to be very important that you understand the types of frequencies being used. We'll get into that here in a moment or two. But we must take care of our mental health, and we certainly must not go to a mental health facility and be diagnosed with schizophrenia or bipolar or any of the likely created psychological maneuvers that have been done. And so, again, all 5G, 4G, 6G is pulsed and remotely neurologically controlled. And a few more things. Alana mentioned a book that was written in the 1970s, Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television by Jerry Mander. Again, Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television. Might be a good book for some of you to order. And it is literally how we are being zombified, one of the methods. Human conversion will easily be accomplished, and it is being accomplished right now. And I found this interesting because many people talk about we should transition into fiber optics, that we'd be better situated to reduce frequencies. People aren't understanding that fiber optics are not good, because they are fibers inside a large cable, and each fiber can handle individual homes or people, etc. So it is not an alternative to the safe structure of frequencies. The carrier waves are invisible, and sadly, because we don't see them, we don't realize that our minds are now being controlled. And we are being forced to think other people's thoughts, and we've talked about that also. This is, I find interesting. I've talked about this before, but Alana brought it up. During REM sleep, we can reach deeper levels of thinking. So I want you to think about REM sleep. Generally from 2 to 4 in the morning is what I hear. Could be different, but that's the best of my memory. But REM sleep is now being denied because the cell towers and the other antennas are being amped up during REM sleep. So many of you may be noticing that you are disturbed around 2 or 3 in the morning and you're having to make a bathroom trip.
That's right.
Well, yep, and that's thousands and thousands of people. So we're going to need to start protecting our brains. We're absolutely going to need to start protecting our brains. I'm going to talk about a targeted individual, and I've got to really hustle through this, but Elon Musk, the Neuralink implants and satellites and the nanotechnology, the revolution occurred around 1990, and now in the early 2000s, even Congress has given money for all of this. It's cheap. You can't see it, and it's all a very tiny atomic level in size. Nano is tiny and stealth. And it's in all of our refined foods. They don't even have to list it on the label. Just like Cinemix, that is fetal material that is used in our food supply as well. S-E-N-O-M-Y-X. All you do to a nanobot is add a transistor. And now there is a communication device inside your body. Now, I've seen and talked to many people that have Morgellons. If you don't know what it is, you need to know what it is.
Yes.
Because you have it. You have it.
Yes, and doctors are trying to make you out to be a nut if you have it, just like fibromyalgia. They won't recognize it as an actual illness when it actually really is.
That's right. And you have to stay with programs like this and other programs that give you the truth, because if you seek the medical tyranny that was set up to create what we are now falling into rapidly, you will just die faster. So the first delivery system, and I like to call the overhead aerosolized spraying programs, which of course is called geoengineering, but a man that I knew who's now deceased called them dust dumps, overhead aerosolized dust dumps. I really like that. I really think that is what we need to say, because of all the neuro-linguistic programming and the acceptance of words that are very light as opposed to what is really happening. So what has happened with the aerosolized geoengineering programs overhead is massive spraying of nanosensors, AI, and the need for big data, which report to central computers that crunch information for the AI thrust, teaches AI how to be more human-like. Nanotech is in our bodies, and this is what Elon Musk, the Neuralink, is nanotech. And AI thrust is behind everything. Do you know that there was an executive order signed by, by a recent president? I don't want to throw names out because people take offense to their favorite dictatorial totalitarian leader.
Yes.
But there was recently, within the last 4 years, I'll give you a hint, an executive order that was to rapidly deploy and get into AI.
Yeah,
okay.
I believe it.
Executive order.
Yeah.
Now the graphene oxide is magnetized, extremely conductive, and superconductive. And furthering into the book report, with Alana's book, these nanolinks and nanotech go into our bodies. They warm up in our bodies with the oxygen, and then immediately go into a lattice formation inside our bodies and self-replicate. All programmed to make these lattice networks operate. The purpose is to replace our nervous and circulatory system. The inoculations have been shown to cause heart failures, and the blood of the human being is under severe attack from the inoculations. A huge assault on the human blood and our immune systems. The assault, a transhumanism system, replacing all of that with hardware being installed into us. Hardware.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you that don't know what Morgellons is, and I said earlier, you need to know because you have it. Morgellons. And I learned about that years back through Clifford Carnicom. And
He's an excellent on chemtrails.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
And I went to one of his seminars, again, this was years back, and he showed us how to find the Morgellons in our bodies. And he had a very inexpensive, the size of a cigarette, a box of cigarettes, a pack of cigarettes, I should say. And it was a combination magnifying glass and a flashlight. And it was $7. We purchased a number of them. You hold the magnification and the flashlight tight to your skin, and you can see the opalescent fibers under your skin. Now, I have tested that on my animals, my grandchildren, and anything porous. Morgellons is already there. That is the foundation of which the takeover of our bodies is now resulting in synthetic biology. And what's important, too, is the unvaxxed may feel safe. However, aerosolized nano is coming down upon us from the sky. Remember, always remember that. And remember the criminal, the ice in the snow and what happened. It's not real snow. It doesn't melt. It's polymers. And Morgellons is a neuromesh, a foundation where you can observe a circuit board under your skin, which many have observed with a microscope. Now, David, I have seen pictures of this. People that have sent these pictures of the high-resolution circuit boards already in their bodies. And the Morgellon fibers are found in our masks, in the nasal, the PCR testing. It's laced with these fibers. So yeah, do what you want with this information. It's also important, there was a discussion about HARP, which was talked about, and now people have stopped really talking about HARP so much. But HARP is part of the weather system, warfare system. It's used for fires and earthquakes. And they need 3 beams for the targeting. And that's why we'll see HARP systems on Navy vessels as well, which is the High Rural Atmospheric Research Program. It's no longer a research program. It's fully activated, and they're beaming us to destroy us with the use of weather weapons and to assist in creating the beams to target all of us. And again, military technology always has a dual use. Now, this is a very quick synopsis of Elena's book, and I again would suggest that all of you take a look at it. I want to advise you about another book if you have not looked at this. It should be now posted on my resource document page on stopthecrime.net, again on my resource document page, and I will just go over a few aspects of this because if those of you have not read any of Robert Duncan's information, you need to. This will be a fast learning curve into the psychic warfare and top secret mind control interfacing technology. And the name of the book is The Matrix Deciphered. The book details the best civilian knowledge about the U.S. government's latest research into neurological weapons. It is a timely critique on Americans' current political plights based on the testimony of a Harvard graduate and a former Department of Defense scientist who was tortured by the CIA with the same system used on Saddam Hussein in 1992. This is a full disclosure of the long-running, random human weapons testing still being conducted on citizens around the world for advancing the killing capability of the secret weapon systems and the methods used to cover it up. So they're getting more blatant about this. Many of you have heard about the Havana syndrome, the use of a weapon system with frequencies. So going further into this book, The Matrix Deciphered, again, you can download this book from my resource document page on stopthecrime.net. It should be up. I just requested this to be posted yesterday. So it's important to understand that psychologists and psychiatrists who study bipolar, paranoid schizophrenia, satanic ritual abuse, alien abductees, and false memories, The Matrix Decipher explains how these conditions truly arise in many cases. The therapeutic community needs to update their knowledge to avoid misdiagnosing neurological weapons on victims. And that is a fact. So for those of you that have anyone that is telling you they're hearing voices in their head or that they are experiencing nausea that they've never experienced before, many types of maladies, please listen to them. Don't think that they're being paranoid. Understand that this is all part of the disassociation and the unplugging between us as humans. They talk about in the book foreign governments, especially ambassadors, need to know how the CIA and the military were engaging in war and terrorism and social change by using these weapons abroad. And this has been used massively worldwide. Medical research scientist, he is saying, unknowingly involved in torture and killing of test subjects in universities, accepting CIA, Department of Defense, and DARPA grants. So when you see grants, you have to understand immediately that this is all either a weapons program being funded through grants, sustainable development goals through the United Nations, and the Paris Climate Accord. So the book also talks about why the CIA killed President Kennedy and JFK Jr., what is behind all the haunted houses and poltergeists and psychic phenomenon in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and what are the cover stories hiding, and the Unabomber in Oklahoma, top secret technologies of the Nazi conspiracy and how they're mostly concentrated in Russia and the U.S., and what EEG cloning and EEG hydrodyning are, and what the Global Brain Project is, and it goes on, how politicians and the judiciary branch are all controlled. We know this.
Yes.
So, and the control of the press. So, again, this is The Matrix Deciphered. I would recommend that all of you take a look at this. There's only one other book that I'd like to go over quickly today, and then I want to get into some other topics here. I've got a little more time. So this is a book I would highly recommend each and every single one of you order. I don't recommend many books because I usually just go into the source documents, but when I've built up such a trove of source documents over many years of researching, I can then understand what books are the books that I would read. And this is a book that I would recommend. And it's by Melvin Stamper, M-E-L-V-I-N, Stamper, like a stamp, but an E-R on the end, S-T-A-M-P-E-R. And this book is entitled Fruit from a Poisonous Tree. And it's a discussion about secrets that were never to be revealed and how the American blacks were set free as slaves, but never as free men. We know that. The sad reality of the indigenous Native Americans as well. All you own belongs to the Federal Reserve. I hope all of you realize that. And you are made a slave by the way your name is spelled, all uppercase. Many of you know that.
And the birth certificate is you become you're like a stock certificate. You're an asset of the corporation.
That's right. Also talks about how the Constitution was set aside during the Civil War and has never been effective since. And it's a book that is a large awakening, and I would say it was one of several books I read. I read James Traficant's book, The Last American Truth Teller, I think it was called. I met James Traficant at a conference, and a few months after that, he died suspiciously in a tractor accident in his barn in Ohio. He was quite well known as a football player, as I remember, was in Congress, and he discussed and put on record that the United States exists in name only.
Yes.
And the War Powers Act in Fruit from a Poisonous Tree talks about how the President and Congress do what they want, and they're prohibited from implementing the Constitution and with complete impunity for any laws. And every chapter of the book has covered a topic that addresses a violation of deprivation of the rights that we the people think we have. We have a de facto government. And the question that the author, Melvin Stamper, is asking is, I have always asked, is how can they get away with it? And he says, try as I may, I can't find any legal theory that makes sense to him. And he has a lot to talk about in this book. There's another book that I will spend more time on our next show, David, and I'm going to just tell people now, if they want to do a little advanced research into this book, it's a very simple read. It's called The Great American Adventure by Judge Dale. D-A-L-E, The Great American Adventure. I will go over it on our next interview, and so that people can quickly understand what system we're in, to make it more plausible to understand the system we're going in and the system that we really are in. Remember, we're moving into the real economy through sustainable development and through the massive green financing that the controllers of the monetary system are now implementing. So I want to talk about the planned failure of our infrastructure. And I've discussed this before, but it's important to understand that aging and poorly maintained equipment are the most common causes of energy-related failure. But to maintain the equipment to peak working order is inefficient for large organizations to prevent breakdowns. So I found a document some time ago about the infrastructure and the planned destruction of all of our infrastructure. So I'll talk about what infrastructure they're talking about, but this is intentionally deferred maintenance, structural fatigue, frequency pulses, and weather weapons. So what do I mean about the infrastructure? I'm talking about the failure of our storm drainage systems, bridges, levees, dams, reservoirs, our wells that flood and become contaminated, power grid, pump stations, electrical distribution stations, wastewater treatment plants, subterranean structures, flood control channels, underground electrical vaults, storm drainage systems, sewer systems, backflow sewage into your house, basements flooding out, and low-lying pumping stations to reduce the sea level. Florida has a system of low-lying pumping systems, and that can easily be overwhelmed, and it has been. So we need to understand what we face so that we can certainly consider, if you are considering relocating, areas that you may not want to be in. Certainly low-lying coastal areas are being targeted. We've talked about that. You don't want to be below a dam or a reservoir because those are now all weapons. It's a false distribution of a toxic water system anyway, because they are certainly utilizing rain and snowmelt as our water, which is now completely toxic. They're forever poisons there. This is how one of the methods in which they're killing us. But I wanted to just bring to your attention, only because the builder in me found this, and I found it to be rather horrifying. And I heard about this when I was in the UK in 2019 at a conference, and I was one of the speakers. And I heard about the Gearfell UK high-rise burn, G-R-E-F-E-L-L, high-rise. And it was a London high-rise construction failure. And this was a horrific tower that was burned, a housing tower that was burned. And come to find out recently that the building and planning departments have allowed for faulty exterior materials to be used on thousands and thousands of UK high-rise residents. Mm. And they can't sell. Many of these people are stuck with loans. They can't sell their unit. They can't refinance. They're stuck. And you can find this out by just typing in London high-rise construction failures. This was all planned. This was not a mistake, okay? I found out this, too, and I thought this was interesting. Many of you may have heard about the Millennium Tower in San Francisco that is now leaning. It's our United States Leaning Tower of Pizza. Yeah. And I researched the background of this because I thought there's something very, very wrong about this mega building that is literally leaning. So let's talk about this because many of you need to know this. It's all part of the structural devastation that we're going to be seeing. And going back into that story, it's the San Francisco frequency densification is off the charts. So I want to say that right off the bat. And not only do you see the huge Sutro microwave antenna on the San Francisco skyline surrounded by neighborhoods of cancer clusters, but the cell towers and antennas saturate San Francisco as they do in all major cities, along with all the countless wireless pulsing weapons, Wi-Fi smart devices, smart wireless surveillance streetlights, remote traffic signaling, CV cameras, all the Ring doorbells, wireless security systems, vehicles with wireless GPS systems, including all self-driving cars, wireless electric and water meters as well. And frequencies are energy, and everything is energy, including the San Francisco luxury tower. The constant pulsing from all the wireless transmissions act like mini earthquakes, mini, small, mini earthquakes, constantly pulsing and hitting all infrastructure in the country and worldwide where there's densification of frequencies, all buildings and bridges. Think the San Francisco Bridge, if you will, pulsing all the dams, the reservoirs, all of everything structural, and all of us as humans. Destruction and demolition, leaning and sinking, are silent weapons or directed energy weapons, an unacknowledged silent and deadly weapon system. So let's talk about the San Francisco tower and then what I found out. So this is a ritzy San Francisco condo tower, and it's now leaning 26 inches. Just months earlier, the Millennium Tower, it's called, a high-end condo tower that opened in the earthquake-prone city in 2009 and sold units for millions of dollars, was leaning only 22 inches back then. However, the 58-story, 645-foot-tall building is now leaning 26 inches after stabilization work was done to help stop the sinking. Was halted because the removal of earth to add the stabilizing piles was worsening its slant. Construction, this is insane. But insane you have to realize you're living in. And then I'm going to talk about the construction company. This is outrageous. But we do have a Leaning Tower of Pizza, so for those of you that can't travel to see the Leaning Tower of Pizza, come to the highly densified, poisonous, toxic city of San Francisco and look at the ritzy Millennium Tower. But continuing with that, the construction workers were also found to have delayed pouring in the grout after removing the soil from under the building, potentially worsening the issue even further. Now, you couldn't have much more of a calamity than what you're hearing me discuss. The building has already sunk 17 to 18 inches, and it was only originally estimated to sink 5.5 inches by the year 2028. Although engineers insist there is no danger of it collapsing, the residents can continue to live in its luxurious apartments. Engineers paused the project to determine why increased foundation movement was occurring and how this could be mitigated. Structural engineer Ronald Hamburger has now suggested the building lost more than half of the support beams known as piles under the structure. They're going to take out these support beams going from 52 to 18 to minimize additional building settlement. The holes for the support beams were originally determined to be too big in September and caused soil movement. Now, as a builder, these kinds of things are very interesting to me. I don't know how all of you are finding this, but the Leaning Tower of Pizza in San Francisco called the Millennium High Rise is very important because it is, of course, now tilted 26 inches. And what is so important is what this hotel offers and who lives there, because this is highly, highly exclusive. But they talk about the Millennium Townhome Homeowners Association said support beams won't stop the sinking until it's driven into bedrock, which is supposed to happen later this year. This is what they're being told. Lots of luck there. But they talk about the San Francisco Department of Building Inspection has approved the 18 support beam and said it was satisfied that the associated settlement and tilt remain safe ranges. The department will also inspect the beams. Residents were first informed of the sinking in 2016 and launched a fury of lawsuits, one of which resulted in currently paused remedial work. The building's well-off residents include former San Francisco 49er Joe Montana, Giants outfielder Hunter Pence, and venture capitalist Tom Perkins, who died shortly after selling his penthouse for $13 million in 2016. That he sold this penthouse in the Millennium Tower for $13 million. In 2016, the geotechnical engineering leading the investigation suspected the building could sink about 24 to 31 inches. Now, there's all kinds of litigation. These are beautiful. When you look at the interior, you see lap pools, restaurants, really the ability to live in this tower completely, a self-contained lifestyle, more or less. And they have a glossy 58-story all-glass building located on Mission Street, and it was, again, completed in 2009, the tallest residential building in San Francisco, equipped with a 75-foot indoor lap pool, health club, spa, in-house cinema, restaurants, wine bars, for celebrity chefs. All 419 apartments were quickly filled with wealthy residents when it opened. So I'm not going to continue going on about the details of the Millennium Tower, but I'm going to talk about who they hired to correct the leaning. Now, you must understand, this is all in-house. Engineering firms are in-house. So I found out that Ronald Hamburger, which you may have heard me mention, is the structural engineer. And he also described the collapse.
Sounds like he works for McDonald's.
He was involved in the World Trade Center towers.
Okay.
And the World Trade Center, a civil and structural engineer on the collapse of the World Trade Center by the attacks of the box cutters. So he goes on to talk about how the vulnerabilities in the design of the New York World Trade Center are likely to have contributed to the collapse of its two main towers, adjacent buildings, according to Ronald Hamburger, a structural engineer currently investigating the September 11 disaster. The buildings were incredibly strong, especially with respect to resisting dead loads and wind loads, but they also had a number of vulnerabilities. So he was involved in the entire investigation around the collapse of the 9/11 buildings. He says this, quote, "I believe that the hijackers flew the aircraft into the lowest part of the buildings. They had access to," Hamburger commented, quote, "if there had been no nearby structures, they would have hit the towers lower." One member of the audience asked Hamburger if he believed that the pilots intentionally banked the planes at an angle to take out as many floors as possible, and he said yes. So I want to suggest, and not suggest, to point out the fact that the government hires engineering firms for their cover-ups. And the fact that this Millennium Tower is leaning because it is being pummeled by frequencies, and certainly the engineering faults of construction in the structural foundation of this building, and hiring this government corporation that does this worldwide, this shows the level and depth of this conspiracy and how people make money on defending the disinformation everywhere. So I wanted to point that out. Again, many of you can watch the Millennium Tower in San Francisco and look at what's happening there. I want to now discuss a number of other things. I want to talk about, I sent this out as an email blast out. I don't know how many of you saw this, but I want to read a comment. These are called death pods for assisted suicide. And I titled it Pay to Die. No wait, it's free. Sarcos, which means sarcophagus. Sarcos assisted suicide pod cleared for use in Switzerland. Assisted suicide booths made by a 3D printer. Exit.
Oh
exit intern. I know. Listen to this. Exit International plans to develop ways for the process to be carried out without the requirement that a doctor be present for psychiatric review. These are suicide pods. Other European countries, including Belgium, Germany, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands, have similar policies now in place. They talk about how the capsule is sitting on a piece of equipment that will flood the interior with nitrogen rapidly, reducing the oxygen level to 1% from 21% in about 30 seconds. The creator told the Swiss Info, the person will feel a little disorientation and may feel slightly euphoric before they lose consciousness. Okay. Death takes place through hypoxia and oxygen and carbon dioxide deprivation, respectively. There is no panic and no choking. So this is a death pod, and I pumped this out as an email blast out, and it's horrific. Now I want to read to you a comment that I received from someone that sent a comment back on this blast out. Now, it's important for all of you to comment when you can under the blast outs that I send. I appreciate those. And I'm going to read to you one now. You can take this for what it's worth, because many people are now seeing the opportunity of catching your soul before you die. So this is an email that I received. They are asking me that I hope you read this. I think it is even more sinister by being in the pod. Somehow, they take your life force. There is energy released when you die. If you have ever been with someone when they die, you can feel it. I was with a dear friend in the hospital, and I knew the exact moment he left his body. Mm. I think that is what the black magic is really all about, taking your soul force, your body force.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
And this person says, I can't prove this. I just believe this to be true from my heart and my soul. Please discuss this. We're discussing it now. They've asked me to discuss it. I think it's very relevant. The pod is far more evil than anyone can imagine. In Canada, they have now passed a law to let people commit suicide, terminally ill or mentally ill. So imagine you are depressed. Perhaps you've lost your spouse, a child, or your job, and you go to the doctor for help, and he tells you to go kill yourself.
Yeah.
If you've ever been given a label of mental illness, will they come for you? Will it come to that, to be taken away, like what is happening and what happened in World War II?
Or any illness. Maybe now suicide will be the answer to any illness you have. Oh, you got cancer? Here, off yourself right now. Save us some money.
Exactly. Now, we know you can do that in Oregon and other states right now. They even have a green cremation where literally you are washed down your sewer system. So dead bodies now will soon become part of our drinking water.
Yes.
But I wanted to bring that forth because I think this is very relevant. I think we have to look at the suicide pods for something far more sinister, just like this contributor said, and I believe that to be true. So I want to alert all of you to a video I just posted yesterday. Also, by the way, along with our last week's show, On the Dark Outpost is now up on StopTheCrime.net as well. But it's a video posted on Stop the Crime on our Odyssey video channel, and it is extremely important that all of you take a look at it. It's replacing mankind. Biomechanical transhumanism, Borg-like human remote control by RF signals, 4G+, 5G, etc., slaves of the technocrats. Mechanical parasites are being injected into children and adults to either kill them or enslave and sicken them. The ancient brotherhood of the snake, which is the medical caduceus, C-A-D-U-C-E-U-S symbol, is using the needle once again to present the venomous fang. This is a death cult. So when you look at the symbol for our medical profession, you see two serpents, and it's coiled upward on a winged staff. You need to understand what that is. So this video, again, is Death of a Species, Replacing Mankind. And it is posted on StopTheCrime.net. It was something that doctors have been investigating out of Spain. And I have the website also on StopTheCrime.net where you can access more of their truth and their information that they are finding. I wanted to get into food. But again, I see that we're fast closing in on the clock, but I do want to talk about the food and the worldwide zero waste plan and how this is being utilized to destroy and take down our food supply. I watched a very, very problematic dairy and meat and animal businesses in Wales in the UK a week ago. And they're telling the farmers, the meat producers in those areas, that they have to eliminate their production by 50% because they're transitioning to a meatless diet. Now, I was watching an interview a couple of the meat producers, and I really believe that they're not able to hear what is being said. Their businesses are being eliminated. And I think very much like many people here believe, that's so far out, it can't even be real. And they're not responding to the words that are being said. So I looked this up, and it's very, very important to understand what is happening, because we are headed towards a no-meat society. Again, this is a circular economy of reducing our access to everything. That circular economy gets smaller and smaller and smaller with restrictions and inability to access, and ultimately they get to zero. That's the goal. So I found that off the BBC and in some of the information overseas, I found that they have a requirement to eat less meat. And this came out of Wales. And they're talking about how people should eat less meat in a bid to tackle climate change. So I want all of you to know right now, to stop the weather weapons and stop climate change, you just need to eat less meat. That's what people are being told. To tackle climate change, which is weather weapons. Independent climate change advisors have suggested a 35% cut in meat consumption. The Welsh and the UK governments have legally binding targets to reduce greenhouse gas emissions to net zero. Now, I will tell you, we have legally binding contracts as well. In fact, worldwide, through the Sustainable Development Goals that are funded by grants. We are being destroyed. So they go on to say, in its latest net zero plan, the Welsh government said its ambition over the next 20 years was to shift people's diet, meaning a substantial increase in fruit and vegetables, a decrease in red and processed meat and dairy products. The report refers to a recommendation from the Independent Climate Change Committee that there should be a 20% cut of meat and dairy consumption by 2030 and increased reduction further out by 2050. They go on to talk about how people should eat more fruits and vegetables, but the affordability of accessing fruits and vegetables in certain regions will be highly expensive, and only the wealthy will be able to access fruits and vegetables when they're out of season in that area. So think about that. Wales climate change minister has previously said buying fruit and vegetables out of season should be seen as a luxury in the future. So many of you are not going to be able to eat when you have no more meat and you're in an area where there are no fruits and vegetables and the delivery systems have been intentionally squelched. You have no food unless you're growing for your own and you put up food, which many of you, I hope, are. But speaking to the major global climate change summit in Glasgow, the UK government minister of the COP26 said, quote, "I'm someone who very much believes in a carrot rather than a stick, trying to encourage people to move in the right direction. What we need to make sure is that we are incentivizing people to make decisions in the same way that we give grants to support people to buy ultra-low emission vehicles. A research paper accommodating people's shift in dietary habits towards plant-based foods was hastily deleted from the UK government's website by the Department for Business, which said the paper was academic research and not official policy. It is official policy, and it's being fomented upon all of us by grants that will further indebt our countries and pummel our economies. Absolutely total dismantlement and destruction."
And at this point, I'm sorry, I want to wrap things up. Please give out your website because we're running out of time and I want people to go there immediately. StopTheCrime.net.
Thank you. Yes, StopTheCrime.net. I post many, many documents. It's very broad and very deep with documents over many, many years.
It is fantastic, folks. It is a fantastic website. Deborah's website is a must read.
Well, I appreciate that. And the Odyssey video channel on the videos that you see me in, I post other people's videos and work as well that I by and large agree with. Some I don't fully agree with. But certainly watch the ones where I'm involved because, again, I research documents only. So you can find the documents that I relate to and also go to primarywater.org. I do have many videos on primary water. Learn the truth as rapidly as possible. Do all you can to love the ones you're with. Tell those that you're with that you love them even more. And be kind. Be kind. Don't sit in judgment over people that simply do not understand. Please keep a motto in mind, do no harm.
Excellent.
Because we are being pummeled with harmful strategies, and we must do no harm. We're a human family. And I want to thank you, David, for the program today.
We'll do it again next week. Thanks so much, Deborah.